You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. How can we use our gifts and talents in order to serve others? Discover more in week 9 of our series, Forward.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you please give your seatmate a fist bump for a while and tell your seatmate, I'm so glad you are here this afternoon. Fist bump lang, don't punch them, okay? Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the house! If you are a father, if you are a dad, can you proudly wave your hand for a while? Proudly wave your hand. Come on, everyone. Let's give all the dads claps here this afternoon. Come on. Come on. Show appreciation to all of our dads. All right. Super dads of Victory Dumaguete. May iba sa atin mukhang tatay lang, pero hindi pa tatay. Today, we are down to the 9th. Can you imagine this? 9th and last installment of our series called Forward. Now, let me see a proud show of hands. If you were able to complete all 9 installments of this series, can I see your hand for a while? All 9 installments. Come on, just wave your hand for a while. There they are. Okay, very good. Okay, pwede na kayong mag-wish. Okay? 9 mornings. But anyway, of course, that's a joke, okay? I want us to turn our Bibles for a while to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. As we conclude this series, let me tell you, this is going to be a simple message for all of us. We're going to be talking about shared life. We're going to be talking about your giftings. Okay, look at the person beside you for a while. Believe it or not, that person has a lot of giftings that has been deposited by God. We're going to be talking about your giftings here this afternoon and the purpose or the reason as to why he gifted you with such good looks and every other thing that God basically has for you. The tail end of this series talks about us fellowshipping with people. That's why last week, John preached a message about fighting for unity or walking in unity. We also talk about church community, basically. And today, we're going to talk about shared life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. A few verses. You can read along with me if you want. It says here, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, let me just start this off by pulling out a picture from 2 weeks ago, because I believe to a certain extent this will basically explain what we're going to be talking about here this afternoon. 2 Sundays ago, I showed you a picture of a bayanihan. It's a culture, a phenomenon that is very much present in the Philippines even to this date. For the foreigners here, Martin, Ronel, this is how we do things in the Philippines. We always do things in the context of a church community. And one of that is basically bayanihan. So we call it bayanihan. How do you say bayanihan in English in your country? Hero raw. Napakalalim naman. But bayanihan, it's basically the entire community coming together to help out a certain family move their home from one place to another. Of course, you know that that's only possible if your house is wooden. Okay, otherwise, even if it's the entire city trying to carry your house, it's going to be difficult. But anyway, that's basically a culture in the Philippines. And 2 weeks ago, I basically told you why this is possible. And this is only possible because for a family of 5 or a family of 8, it will almost be impossible for them to bring their home from one place to another. But if it's the entire community coming together, helping out the family, it is possible because of a simple principle that the weight is distributed. The weight is distributed. Let me just start this off by telling everyone, what we're going to talk about here today is us advancing the kingdom of God together. I want you to understand that whenever we start talking about the church, the local church, if you consider Victory Dumaguete to be your local church, I want you to understand that every single local church has its own loads and weights. And guess what? We are able to effectively advance God's kingdom through this local church if the weight is distributed. That is basically what we're going to talk about here today. Let me just start off by defining what we do also as a movement, a word that basically defines who we are as well. I want us to understand that we are a missional church. Tell the person beside you for a while, we are missional. What does it mean? Ask the person beside you, what does it mean? Paki-explain. It's very simple. When you say we are missional, meaning to say every single thing that we're doing here, every single song, every single preaching, every single victory group, every single thing that we do in this local church is tied up to God's mission to reach the nations of the world. Let me just try to be more specific for a while. Let's say, for example, let's try to look at that in the perspective of music. We love it whenever we start singing songs to God that talks about our emotions towards Him or God's emotion towards us, whatever worship song that you can think of. Much of the worship songs that we started singing when we started this church, and basically much of the worship songs around us right now, are categorized as devotional songs. Meaning to say, it talks about the inclination of your hearts to God and God's inclination towards you. But if you observe over the past how many years, we have shifted from having devotional songs to having devotional missional songs. Meaning to say, our devotion to God, God's goodness in us, should always result in God's mission for us. If you remember, when God gave us the Great Commission, it's not an accident why it's called great. It is not just a commission. It is called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to go out there and preach the gospel into all nations, to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I want us to understand, whenever we start talking about this church, local church, specifically Victory, we are a missional church. Now, why am I sharing this? You know, church consultants, Tom Rainer and Eric Geiger, are guys familiar with StrengthsFinder? They have good contributions in books like this one. You know, church consultants realize that a lot of Christians want stability in their church. Meaning to say, they try to equate church life into their financial life. I don't know with you, but if you're talking about the financial aspect of your life, you want your finances to be stable, amen? I mean, it's just difficult for you to think throughout the day if your finances are not stable. In terms of our businesses, in terms of what you do in the home or in your family, stability is your friend. But guess what? Whenever we start talking about a missional church, a church that is always on the move, always reaching, always preaching, always going out there, stability is not a friend of a missional church. Why? Because there are a lot of movements in a missional church. So meaning to say, if a church is always on the edge, always having what we call, quote-unquote, good problems because of growth, good problems because of this one, it gives us a picture that stability is actually healthy for a local church. Constant transitions are indicative of constant movements. And whenever the church keeps moving, it's actually good for the people in the church, because you folks know that the moment you keep stepping out, those are times that we grow as a church as well. But the moment you feel so comfortable in where you are right now, always your preference, always wanting the messages only for yourself, that's the time that you what? That you stagnate in your growth. In fact, those are the times that you become a bad complainer in the things that is happening in a local church. Constant transitions are indicative of constant movements. Let me just show you two photos for a while. Many of you know these two guys. Let me just try to explain a couple of things for a while. Who do you want us to start with? You want to start with the guy on the left? All right, let's start with the guy on the right. Okay, the guy on the right is JD. He's Pastor JD. And who am I? You know Pastor JD? You know Pastor JD? I was just with him 2 days ago, and we were having good conversation over some things in the Bible. When you're with JD, it's just always a cerebral talk. So I wanted to tell him, can we just talk about phones or cars? Or do we really have to talk about all of these things? But anyway, you know, JD is perhaps, you know, one of the most brilliant guys that I've ever met. He loves to write, he loves to sing, he loves composing. He's like a lumpia, all good things wrapped into one. So that's who JD is. I met him when we were students in Silliman University, and we got discipled. He went ahead of me, became classmate in some of the classes here in Victory Dumaguete. And eventually, after graduating from college, he went back to Davao, served in our church in Davao. After a couple of years, we had a big transition here in this church in 2013. Our senior pastor needed to leave for Manila because he felt like he was called to join one of our churches in Manila. So one of the big movements and big transitions that we did was we needed to call JD from Davao to join us here in Victory Dumaguete. So for 3 years, JD was our youth pastor. Some of our students here know that. They were under the preaching of this guy. So he was our youth pastor. And just last year, after serving here for 3 years, we felt like our team was inadequate. Meaning to say, the team that we had in Victory Dumaguete at that time wasn't an intact team that can accommodate the growth of the church. Yet, it did not stop us from making a big decision to send him to Tagbilaran City. Because at the end of the day, I want you to understand is, whenever we start releasing people, more men rise up, more people rise up. It's the same way with Patrick right here. Well, basically, I can say that the strength of Patrick is really his good looks. Other than that, there's just a few strengths that he has, but it's really the good looks. You know, we've noticed it. The church started growing when he started preaching, but I don't know. I met Patrick, I think, 9 years ago when he was a freshman coming straight from Iran. He's Armenian by descent who grew up in Tehran, Iran. So I met him when he was a freshman. Couldn't even speak English. That's how brilliant this guy is. Okay, in 1 year's time, he speaks better English than me. Eventually, by God's miracle, he got plugged in Victory before we became friends. The guy is just argumentative. You know, he loves debates. He just wouldn't lose in debate. So, but you know, eventually he became one of our leaders here, and we really groomed Patrick to be one of our preachers here, to be one of our leaders here. And true enough, you know what? He became a prolific leader. A lot of people look up to him, especially the ladies. And you know, eventually last year, he felt like he needed to go to Manila to attend med school in UST. So with much hesitation, we needed to send him off because we know that it's going to be a blessing there. And just imagine, at that time, it caused the church became a little unstable. In a sense that you sent out JD and also you sent out Patrick. But nonetheless, even in the midst of that instability, it basically caused more men to rise up. I was at the Victory Weekend yesterday. I only taught one topic, which is the cross. And I sat under the teaching of some of our leaders here. And I tell you what, a lot of our leaders here are very prolific teachers, very prolific preachers. And I come to understand and I've embraced the fact that a lot of you here, you have a lot of giftings that your seatmate doesn't have. In fact, I didn't even know that Hannah plays the keyboards. Okay, who knows from the keyboards, she may become one of our singers here, but we'll know. Okay. Now, going back to Patrick and JD right here, there's constant transitions because it's indicative of constant movements. Now, look, I'm not sharing this to scare you guys. I'm not sharing this to tell you that I'm leaving or we're sending people somewhere. That's not my point. I'm just telling you that whenever we keep doing what God wants us to do, it's basically healthier for all of us. Yung iba sa inyo, pinagpe-pray nyo na sana umalis na yung seatmate nyo. Huwag naman po. Okay? Hindi naman po ganun yung ibig natin sabihin. Baka out of bitterness yan. Okay? Ito po, we're talking about a healthy thing that could happen in a church. In a life cycle of a church, that's actually a good thing. Now, why am I sharing these things? I'm sharing this simply because when you look at what we've just read a while ago, I want to give us a quick rundown of what we can get from this one. First is, what have we received as a church? Or what have we received as Christians? Secondly, I want to answer the question, what do we do with what we have received? And third, what is the ultimate purpose of that which we have received? I want to throw this question simply because for quite some time, Pastor JD and Patrick, they've become such big blessings to all of us. Amen? They're a big blessing to us. But you know what? As we sent Patrick off, we realized that now, Victory U-Belt, that has around 6,000 students every single week, Victory U-Belt designated Patrick as the point person to be like the quote-unquote unofficial campus missionary for the College of Medicine in UST. And if you look at JD right now, when we sent him off, he felt inadequate. He felt like he cannot do the job. But if you look at his fruitfulness right now, we're going to launch Victory Tagbilaran officially on October 22. Meaning to say, God can and God will use you if allow yourself to be used by God. What have we received? First thing I want to talk about, I want to go to verse 10 for this one. What have we received? Bible says, as each has received a gift. So I want you to understand this. As a Christian, if you consider yourself a Christian, you have received a gift or two. Okay, some of you have a lot of gifts, and that is basically what we're going to talk about here. So as a Christian, we have received a gift from God. Let me talk about a component of your salvation for a while. You know what? I want to be forward with you. When God saved you, you want me to believe that you have been saved by God? Come on now. Pakita nyo kay Lord. Pakita nyo kay Lord. Okay, very good. Now, look. God didn't save you just for you not to experience hell. You folks get what I mean? The only goal is not for you not to go to hell. Meaning to say, God saved you because He wants to use you here on earth. So meaning to say, using you here on earth would entail you using what God has given you. And what God has given you are basically His gifts to you. It's quite amazing that the word that we're using here is gifts. Meaning to say, it's something that is basically freely given to us. Okay? Each one of us has received a gift. The word gift there is coming from the Greek word charisma. Who am I seated beside a person who has such a different level of charisma? Okay? So, ibig sabihin, that person is gifted. Yet when you say charisma, it's basically grace or gifts conveying extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ. Like what I told you, this is a very simple message. Number one, I want you to understand, every single one of us, we have our own gifts. And I want to show you some of the biblically derived gifts that you could basically discover in the Bible. Here are some of them. Look at this one. Now, guess what? All of us here, God has deposited us some of these giftings. But here's a fact. None of us here has all the giftings. So meaning to say, if I say that none of us here has all the giftings, it gives us a picture that there's no place of arrogance. And again, there's also no place for insecurity. Let me talk about the first one, administrative. Have you ever been with people who loves organizing? Have you ever been with people who loves paperwork? Yet it feels like everything in their life is such a clockwork. People like this have been given the gift of administration. If you're here and you don't have the administrative gifting, it will take you more effort to do some things in your offices or at school compared to someone with the gift of administration. Another gift that we see here is the gift of apostle or apostleship. Okay, apostles have been graced by God to basically do oversight in churches. These are people who love church planting, much like the apostle Paul. Meaning to say, some apostles have also been given the gift of leadership. Many say they always want to make the move, always want to make the initiative, always wanting to go, always wanting to preach. The third one is the gift of celibacy. Now, for the single ladies here, I don't think this is a gift that you would want to pray from God. The gift of celibacy is basically being single for the rest of your life. And we all know that Jesus and Paul were both singles until the time of their death. So for some of us, some ladies here, not just some ladies, but some guys as well, if they're like age 35, age 36, and they're not yet married, they start panicking. People with the gift of celibacy, kebs. Wala silang pakialam, kahit 40 to 45 sila. Why? Because most likely they have the gift of celibacy. They want to use their singlehood to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. The fourth one that we have here is the gift of discernment. Or we also call this the gift of the discerning of spirits. People with the gift of discerning of spirits, a lot of them or some of them can see visions. They get to see or they get to understand the spiritual climate of a certain place. Do you have Christian friends whom you tag along with you? You go to a certain house and then they start grabbing your hands and tell you, we have to go out because they don't feel like this place is right for both of you. People like this have the gift of discernment, meaning to say they get to discern things that otherwise not too many people get to discern. They get to discern some demonic activity sometimes when they start talking to people. They discern right away without judging the person that there is something wrong with the person. That's basically the gift of discernment. The gift of encouragement. These are good friends that we always have. That I don't know, but every time they are with us, we just feel so encouraged. Every single thing that they tell you are good things. They tell you that you look good. Even if you don't look good, they'll tell you that. So in short, those who have the gift of encouragement, they're liars. No, I'm just kidding. It's just that they always see the good things in you. They're more than willing to ignore a lot of the bad things in your life, and they just want to magnify the good things in your life. Good friends, right? You want to have friends like this. Another gift that we see here is the gift of evangelism. The gift of evangelism, that doesn't mean that as a Christian, you need to have the gift of evangelism before you start evangelizing. That's not the case. In fact, every single one of us has been tasked by God to go out there and evangelize, engage the lost, preach the gospel to them. It's just that people who has the gift of evangelism has been graced by God that whenever they start preaching the gospel, for some reason, people turn their hearts to the Lord. I've encountered this before. There was a time that I would preach the gospel to someone and the guy was like looking everywhere. I feel like I was not effective. But here comes another guy, preach the gospel to a person. For some reason, the guy starts crying. I felt so bad about myself. But anyway, I feel like that's just the grace of God towards the person. That's also part of the fivefold offices in the book of Ephesians chapter 11, verse 12, the office of the evangelist. And I pray that in this church will rise many evangelists, many people who are just so prolific when it comes to evangelizing the lost. Okay, another gift that we have here is the gift of exhortation. These people love to speak. Whenever you put them on a pulpit, whenever you make them lead victory groups, people get to listen to them. They love exhorting. People with the gift of faith, for all of us, we all have a certain level of faith. But you know what faith people will do in your life? I tell you what, if you combine encouragement and faith as two of your best friends, I tell you what, you're going to be in cloud nine every single day. You know why? Because the gift of faith is something like this. When everyone is down, someone with the gift of faith would always come in. You know what? God can do this for us. Nothing is impossible with God. They will wildly and crazily believe God for the great things, for the most impossible things to ever happen. Those are people with the gift of faith. And sometimes for all of us, we always look at things logically. We try to calculate, this is how much it would cost. For them, you know, they don't use calculators. They just want to step out of the boat and just do it because it is God's will for their life. There's a gift of faith, the gift of giving, of course, together with encouragement and faith. You want to have best friends who have the gift of giving. Why? Because these are generous people. Who am I here can honestly say that you're seated beside a very generous person? Okay. Application time later. The gift of giving. You know, people who have the gift of giving, they really don't think twice in becoming a blessing. You know, this church has had 10 days missions in Pakistan, in Mumbai, India, in Vietnam, in Mongolia, this July, in Cambodia. Do we have the Cambodia team here? There they are. If you're here and you have the gift of giving, they're raising their funds, so please do approach them, okay? So these people, they love giving to the kingdom of God, making sure that everything is basically effective in terms of finance. The gift of healing. These are people who have been graced by God to heal the sick. I'm not saying that we should not do that as Christians. All of us should do that, to heal the sick. But for these people, they're just so efficient in what they're doing. Helps and service. I do understand that in this church, we have a lot of people with this gifting. Just one case in point. Last night, I'm not sure if all of you know, but many of you know that this place right here where we meet on a given Sunday, we rent this out on a per-event basis. Meaning to say, we only use this on a Sunday. So because we only use this on a Sunday, everything that we have here, we have to pack them up afterwards, and then the next week, we have to put it back again. Now, the thing there is that because this is an events venue, when there's a booking ahead of us on a given Saturday, let's say Brent will have his wedding here. So if he's going to have his wedding here, and it's booked at 10 p.m., then we'll have to end this at 12 midnight. So meaning to say, we start doing things here at 12 in the evening. Last night, I learned our volunteers here started setting up the place at 11:30 in the evening. Our tech people, two of them last night, they went home at 4 in the morning. They wouldn't have done that if they don't have the gift of helps or service. Another one is hospitality. These people love to talk. Yeah, simple as that. The gift of knowledge. For some of us, that's basically word of knowledge. For some reason, sometimes when you're talking to a person, God will just give you a word of knowledge for the person. And you start telling that word to the person. And for some strange reason, that's very relevant to his current situation. So another gift is the gift of leadership. Whom you can honestly say that you are a leader. It's always good for us to desire leadership. That's basically biblical. Another one is mercy or compassion. Do you have friends who are like this? In this church, we have a social responsibility component of this church led by Alzen Ikalina. And compassion or mercy, these people are always moved in compassion. They want to help the poor, send people to school. They just love helping out people. The gift of miracles. These people are basically people who believe God for miracles to happen in people's lives. So if you're here, you want to be married soon, so just look for someone with the gift of miracle and let that person pray for you. Missionary. I'm proud to say that after years of having this local church, we are finally sending a cross-cultural missionary, one cross-cultural missionary, and that is Miss Gigi Ampas. We're still thinking, we're still deciding which nation we're going to send her in. It's either Iraq or Syria. We'll see. Okay? Then we have pastoring or shepherding. These people love caring for people, love listening to people, just love ministering and counseling people. And the gift of prophecy. You folks know what the gift of prophecy is. You just say thoughts coming from God towards a person. That's why sometimes we have a prophetic presbytery. The gift of teaching. This is very prevalent in Dumaguete City simply because this is a university town. So I do understand many of you here are efficient teachers, prolific teachers. Most likely, as a Christian, God has given you these gifts. And the gift of tongues, and for some, it's the interpretation of tongues. When someone starts speaking in tongues, someone gets to interpret it. And the other one is basically the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom, sometimes when people get into a certain crossroad, they have to make big decisions. Okay, people with the gift of wisdom would just come in and give one piece or one advice, and people would like, parang, ba't hindi natin naisip yun? So it's basically something like that. I tell you what, every single one of us here, look at yourself for a while, tingnan mo yung sarili mo. I want you to understand, wrapped up in you are some of these giftings. You may not have all, but you have some. So there's no place of insecurity or arrogance, meaning to say, You don't go to other people and look down on yourself or look down on other people because of your giftings. Every single one of us is unique. The reason why we have different giftings is because we cannot have one giftings for all of us, because that's going to be chaotic. How can we advance God's kingdom? We can only advance God's kingdom if we come together collectively and apply every single giftings that we have. I want to go and proceed to the next thing here. What do we do with what we have received? What do you do with your giftings? What do you do with your gifts? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. Very simple. Bible says, use it to serve one another. Folks, I want you to understand this. This doesn't say use it to serve your pastor. This doesn't say use it to serve your parents. This doesn't say use it to serve your boss. It talks about even your peers. Use it to serve one another. I feel like the gauge or the measure of someone's service is when they start serving not their superiors, but even people on their level or their peers or even their subordinates for that matter. We serve each other. Whatever it is that you have, whatever giftings it is that God has given you, you have to use that giftings to serve other people. Because when you serve other people, you basically administer God's grace for their life. Now look at this one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. It says here, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. You know, that is why, if you've noticed, in the Christian context, when we pray for someone, we lay hands on people. Because when we lay hands on people, there's an impartation. So that's why in Victory Weekend or when someone prays for you, people lay hands on you. That is also a reason why I don't just ask people to lay hands on me if I don't know the person, especially if the person is not a Christian. I don't ask them to lay hands on me. Why? Because there's an impartation of what they have. So I want you to understand that whenever people start praying for you, the Bible is very clear. This is Paul teaching Timothy. Timothy at this time was a young pastor in Ephesus. And Paul, his discipler, or his leader, is telling him, do not neglect the gift that is in you. In the same way for all of us, God is basically telling you, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Do not neglect the administrative gifting. Do not neglect the wisdom gifting, the leadership gifting that you have. You know, sometimes maybe there were some lies along the way. You made a mistake. That's why sometimes you want to depart from what God has given you. But you know what? We just have to embrace the fact that if you start neglecting your gifting, then you're not going to flow in the grace that God has given you for that gifting. Do not neglect your gifting. I do know that some of you have way better voice than some of our singers here. Some of you here can sing better than some of our singers here. Some of you here can play better than some of our musicians here. Guess what? If they get off note sometimes, does that happen to you? Do you get off note? Okay. Would you admit that? Okay. If they get off note, instead of raising eyebrows on them, why not join them and be a blessing to the entire congregation? Be a blessing to the entire local church. You know what? Sometimes our problems are just very simple. Magre-reklamo tayo, instead of magreklamo tayo, mag-join na lang tayo. Why not just commit, partner, and do whatever it takes for you to be able to be a blessing to the entire church community? Do not neglect the gift that is in you. That is why in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says here, therefore I remind you to what? To stir up the gift. When you say stir up the gift, it simply means what? Use it. Use it. Do not be a stagnant water, because to my knowledge, a stagnant water will always stink. Meaning to say, you have to use the giftings that God has given you. Whenever you start using your gifting, you don't have to worry. You will not sound arrogant. It's just basically starting to step out in faith. And this is basically God's will for you. I hope and pray we don't have the attitude thinking that, dito lang ako, hindi ako pwede sa stage, kasi humble na tao lang ako. I tell you what, false humility po ang tawag dyan. Simply because that's not true humility at all. When God has given you the gifting to do something, mighty exploits, mighty great things for His kingdom, go ahead and take every single opportunity. I want to tell you this. You know, if I look at my personal life right now I'm a pastor. But you know what, I didn't even hear any voice or audible voice from God telling me, Archie, you're going to be a pastor one day. I never heard those kinds of voices. Though some people heard something like that, I never heard one. The reason why Pastor JD is pastoring Tagbilaran, I'm doing this, and some of our leaders here are doing whatever it is that they're doing right now, is simply because when we were younger in the ministry, we were taught an attitude when it comes to doing works in the ministry, and that attitude is called consider it done. So meaning to say, whenever we're given a task, we always tell our pastor, we always tell our leaders, Pastor or Kuya, consider it done. Because we keep having that attitude, we got to a place where we feel like this is what God has called us to do for the rest of our lives. Continue to serve one another with the giftings that God has given you. I don't know with you, but if someone gives you a gift for Christmas, or let's say you've given someone a gift for Christmas, have you ever given a gift on Christmas Day? You bought it at Robinson's. Let's say it cost you 3,500 pesos. That's your entire savings for the month. Because the person is so special, you bought this kind of gift and gave it to the person. You only to realize that the moment the person received that gift, the person started what? Putting it in the cabinet. And a year after, the gift is still in the cabinet. How would you feel? You will feel insulted. In the same way, when God has given you the gift, you have to open it and start using it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 teaches us the motive behind all of your giftings. It's good to put this in the right perspective. And if I have the prophetic powers, let's say if you can prophesy, let's say you are a sharp prophet for that matter, and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge. Let's say you've memorized the Bible from cover to cover. I've encountered people who are like that. They would quote Romans chapter 8, verse 23. They can quote anything in the Bible. But the Bible says, you have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, you're nothing. So at the end of the day, the motive of serving is still love. It is still love. Listen, you don't serve to call attention to yourself. We don't strive to be popular. We only strive to be faithful. That is basically the call that God has for us, to be faithful in service in whatever it is that He has given us. Third thing that I want us to understand, what is the ultimate purpose of that which we have received? What is the purpose of your gifts? Look at this one in verse 11. It says here, in order that in everything, can ever say everything, in everything, in all of those giftings, in all applications, in every single thing that we're doing here in this church, if you don't want your labor in God to be in vain, look at this one. It says here, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The sole purpose of this, the sole purpose of you using your gifting is for God to be glorified. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Look at this one. It says here, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Let me try to explain this. You know what this verse teaches us? This verse tells us that to every single one of us, it says here, your gifts, I want you to think about your gifts right now. In fact, if you want to know more about your giftings, we have a class here in Victory Dumaguete that will talk extensively about every single one of those giftings. If you're interested to join one of those classes, just approach our discipleship booth or approach the person invited here in Victory. We have classes here called Church Community Class, Biblical Foundations Class, Leadership 113. We have all of these avenues for you to grow in your walk with God. Now, going back to this one, it says here, the gifts that God has given you, okay, should be used for the common good. Can everybody say common good? So here's the question, what is the common good? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12 explains what the common good is. It says here, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestation of the Spirit, look at this one, this is the common good. Strive to excel in the building of the church. So meaning to say, the common good there is for you to what? To rightly apply the giftings that God has given you for the building of the church, for the advancement of God's kingdom. You know what? It's basically as simple as this one. As a local church packeted in a small provincial city called Dumaguete City, sometimes we think that you can only make a difference if you're in the metropolis. You know, that's not even true. Okay, I want you to understand this. Obedience, whenever we start obeying God's call for our lives, we can do great things, not just in our nation, but in the nations of the world. I want to tell you this, as a local church here in Dumaguete City, we will disciple this city. We will disciple this region. We will disciple this nation. And we will disciple the nations of the world. Listen, whether you put in your gifts or not, we are able to accomplish that because at the end of the day, we know that God builds His church. The question here now is, would you want to take part in what God is doing in His church? Would you want to take part in what God is doing in the ministry? Folks, listen, sometimes we think that judgment day is only talking about heaven or hell. That's not even true. If you look at the Bible, you study the Bible, you would come to understand that when everything is said and done, we will also stand before God. And guess what? We will also give an account as to how we lived our Christian life. It's like God telling you, I have given you these giftings. I have given you these giftings. I have given you the eloquence. I have given you the ability to play the guitar. What have you done your entire Christian life? If you sat on the pew, you just became a spectator. That's not God's will for you. God's will for you is to start using the giftings that He has for you. I want to end with this one. I had a good conversation with a pastor, with a friend 2 days ago when Jade and I were in Manila. And when we were talking about what God is doing in the ministry, how everything can come together in a local church, when we started talking about volunteers in the church, leaders in the church, I like what my friend told us. He said, large doors swing on small hinges. A lot of times, we so appreciate the quality of the door. A lot of time, we so appreciate the quality or the material at which the door was made of. A lot of time, we appreciate coming in and going out of a door. But none of us really see the hinges that makes the mechanism work. Large doors swing on small hinges. Ladies and gentlemen, the small hinges in this church are these people right here. Just a couple of the people in this ministry. I tell you what, we are able to do what we're doing because of the small hinges. People were working behind the scene, discipling people, making time. Look at this one. Look, have you ever noticed that if you're here and you've been invited by a friend, do you realize that a cup of coffee is not cheap? Do you realize that making time for you despite their busy schedule is actually not always convenient for them? But they're doing that for what? They're doing that for the common good. Large doors swing on small hinges. And I want to take this time to appreciate every single one of our volunteers, every single one of our leaders here in this church. Listen. I want you to understand this. God sees things that are done in secret. I want you to understand that the God that you worship is a rewarder. Every single sweat, every single effort, every single tears that you pour in for the sake of the gospel, for the advancement of God's kingdom. I tell you what, when everything is said and done, it's all worth it. And I want to issue a call for some of us here. Most likely, you are the piece of puzzle that we need in this church. Most likely, you are the piece of puzzle that would basically make this tapestry even look better. I tell you what, we can disciple the city. We can disciple the campuses in the city. We can disciple the nations of the world. Listen, okay, keep making jokes about Syria, about Iraq. I tell you what, one of these days, we will go into those nations. But it will happen when we come together and use our giftings. We are believing God for our own building. One of these days, we will put up our own building. We will put up our own facility. And that facility is not for us to boast about the name of Victory Dumaguete. That's not our goal. Our goal is to put up a facility wherein it's going to be a place where people will be trained, people will be taught, people will be equipped, people will be empowered, and people will be sent off to the nations of the world, to the campuses in this nation. Large doors swing on small hinges. For some of you here, God is telling you to start using your giftings. And if you want an application to that, our service ministries here are one of the places where you can start using your giftings. If you feel like God has spoken you through this message here this evening, I want to encourage you, talk to the person invited you here in Victory. Talk to me. Talk to some of our leaders here.